This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
This is the F Word, Vancouver's only explicitly feminist radio show. Feminism, a new wave on the radio.
I beat drums in city slums when my heart speaks from my neck, not back at the sound of a gun, but nobody runs, cause nobody knows if nobody's sons just got shot, so nobody comes and nobody stops. Nobody moving, nobody pauses.
Hi, and welcome to a special episode of the F Word podcast. My name is Ellie Gordon Marshall, and I'm currently in Ottawa, Ontario, for the 2011 Women's Worlds Conference. It's a global convergence to advance women's equality, and the event has gone from the 3rd and will end on the 7th of this month, and it's featured tons of presentation and workshops. I don't think I've ever seen so many feminists in one place. I got the opportunity to speak with two of the presenters, Zara Agji and Farah Khan of Axazine. If you haven't heard of Axazine, it's a Toronto-based grassroots art collective by and for young women and trans people who self-identify as Muslim, and they strive to work from an explicit anti-oppressive, pro-choice, queer-positive, and trans-positive framework. This collective does a ton of interesting work, and I got to hear a bit about it. Here is the interview.
So my name's Farah Khan, and I'm a member of Axazine.
My name's Zahra Agji, and I am also a member of Axazine.
So you wanted to know the history of Axazine. Mm-hmm. So we started in 2007 when Axa Pervez was murdered. It was actually a day or two afterwards, a number of us came together and started just meeting and recognizing that there was very little space for us as young Muslim women to come together and grieve this murder of this young girl. She was a 16-year-old girl that was murdered by her father and her brother. In 2007, in December. And so we recognized there was very few spaces outside of our mosque, outside of mainstream Canadian communities to really talk amongst ourselves. And we saw that there was such power in us meeting and coming together. So we met randomly kind of for over a year. And then there was an article that came out by Toronto Life magazine in 2008 around the anniversary of Axa Pervez's murder. And it was an expose, supposedly, on... they called it Toronto's first honor killing, the immigrant issue. So you can imagine it caused a lot of great sadness, actually, amongst us. The cover had a very salacious picture of Axa Pervez on the cover, where she was airbrushed, where she looked naked. And it was really, I feel like it was a disrespectful kind of depiction of a young woman who was murdered. And I don't think that same depiction of a white woman would be happening in a major magazine. And they, you know, they argued back with us and said, you know, we need to talk about these issues, and definitely we do need to talk about issues of violence against women. We need to talk about issues of violence against women across Canada, where it happens globally. 1 in 3 girls before the age of 12 are sexually molested. 1 in 3 girls experience violence before the age of 18. We know on a spectrum this happens everywhere. But this magazine was so upsetting, and it was just like, that's it. This is the last straw. Like, we don't want anybody else speaking on our behalf as young Muslim women and trying to save us, right? From the war in Afghanistan to, you know, what's happening here in Canada, it seems that Muslim women's bodies become battlegrounds for people to, you know, use us to rationalize their war on terror, to rationalize the closing of immigration borders. So Axazine was started really to honor our voices and to create a space for us to speak for ourselves.
As I joined Axazine about 2 years ago as a more non-active member, and I had submitted my work to Profile This, Axazine's celebration of their yearly zine, and I was really happy that I was accepted right away. So that was really interesting for me, because prior to that I'd never shown my photography work as a full body because of I was embarrassed of showing it. It was a piece or a body of work that exposed, I guess, my issues with identity, religion, living in the West and trying to still satisfy my family as a young Muslim woman. As more, I was embarrassed that I was so confused about my identity before that, that I wasn't able to show up for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that was also the first time that my family came out and saw my work. Wow. So it was really big for me. And then that was amazing. I got to meet so many women who accepted me and who could not necessarily just understand, because my friends could understand my issues, but they weren't able to relate to them. So I feel more accepted at Oxazine, and there's more women out there like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that I noted off your website that I really liked when you were talking earlier about identities was that you had written on the website that Oxazine kind of includes intellectual, scandalous, curious, hijab-wearing, non-hijab-wearing, immigrant, sexual, honest, queer, heterosexual, all of it Muslim, united by our cause and our diversity. I'm wondering how important that is to what the zine and the actions you do stand for, representing complexity and diversity within the Muslim community.
I feel that for myself, coming to Oxazine, there's nothing that I could say or wear or any way that I dress, what I do, nothing is wrong. I could just express my religion as I feel is right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, I don't want to say safe place, but it's a place where everyone's accepted
mm-hmm.
for who they are.
Because it sounds like the frustration that sparked the group coming together was the fact that media and all that comes along with media, even fictional portrayals of Muslim people, lack a lot of complexity, and it's just one story. And
mm-hmm.
that's, even someone growing up as being a non-Muslim, it took me years to even realize that. How do you go about tackling that kind of thing?
At Oxazine sessions, everyone comes together. They have art making, writing workshops, learning how to just present yourself in a proper manner. I'll erase that.
I think it's in a full manner,
in
right?
In a full manner.
Yeah.
It's just a place that you can come together, create art, learn about writing, learn about different art making, and express your views in a creative way, but also release your emotions where other people have been speaking for you. And then what's really amazing is that all of this work can be put into the zine and then shown at Profile This, the event. So it's not necessarily just within the group, but you can also have people outside of the group come and hear your voice.
And I think, you know, there is a thing where we're kind of boxed in, not only from our communities, in terms of media, but in our internal community. So we talk about dealing with structural violence, such as like Islamophobia, racism, xenophobia, like the hatred of immigrants, all those pieces, and also the stereotypes that come along with that. But also what happens inside our communities, right? So we were in Detroit just recently at the Allied Media Conference, and we had a caucus for Muslims making media, and it was amazing because we had people from all over the states and all over Canada, and we did a go-around. We said, what are the assumptions people have about you in the community and outside the community? And it was really interesting. Women who didn't wear hijab talked about people assuming that we're not religious or don't have a spirituality. And the people that wore hijab, that they're super religious or that they're not born in Canada, right? So there's all these assumptions that come with it that we're trying to challenge, and, right, the complexities of who we are, which I think everybody deals with, right? But it feels more in our microscope right now with all the war on terror and the obsession people have with us. Muslim women only account for 2% of the population in Canada, or Muslim people in general. But we have the corner on media. We're kind of running the show right now.
Wow.
Not running the show, but
yeah.
I wish we were running the show, actually, in some ways. But we're definitely getting
attention.
We get a lot of attention, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that was the stat. That's incredible. Considering the attention around the niqab and Quebec, and it's, I don't know what the stat is on that, but about the women, the actual amount of women that wear it, what is it like?
It's a very small
yeah.
percentage, right? There's a very small percentage of women wear niqab. Both of us have family members wearing niqab, and we actually, in Oxazine, took on a campaign called the No Bill 94 campaign that now is morphed into the Right to Wear campaign, which looks at issues of women that wear the niqab and the hijab. And also women who don't wear them, and kind of how people are just so obsessed with our clothing,
mm-hmm.
yet there's so few of us,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's, again, like, what is this agenda about? It's not really about us. It's not about our liberation and our feminism, because that's what Sheree's government tried to say. It's about feminism, you know,
mm-hmm.
putting women. And it's really about actually telling women that they can't participate in society, that they don't allow to have rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw one columnist put it as the niqab ban, anyways, that it's a solution to a problem that doesn't exist, which I feel kind of sums it up. So recently, what kind of actions have you all been involved in?
Right now we're planning a Right to Wear campaign, which is happening across Canada. So Vancouver, Montreal, hopefully Ottawa, and Toronto. We're organizing massive solidarity soccer games for young Muslim women to come and play soccer in hijab, and then have allies support them on playing the soccer game. And the one in Toronto will be happening at Queen's Park. And that's 2 p.m. Thursday. It's everywhere across in the four locations. So we're very excited for that. And there's a lot of people interested in coming. So about 200 people interested so far.
That's great. Can one of you explain the significance of this job in soccer for what's been going on?
So there's two reasons why we're looking at it. So FIFA has come up with saying that the Iranian team and the Jordanian team cannot play in the World Cup this year. So they were actually taken out of the World Cup soccer matches that were just happening right now. And they're saying that their hijab, for two reasons, that hijab can't be worn because nothing can be worn on the field for religious or political reasons. And another reason that they're saying is for safety reasons. Now, for the safety reason, we know that Muslim women in Ontario and Alberta are allowed to wear hijab in sports events, and they're okay. There's Muslim women that are weightlifters that wear hijab. There's Muslim women that wear hijab when they fence. There's Muslim women that wear hijab when they box. They are not getting harmed because of their hijab. And there's sport-like hijabs that are very close, forefitting to the head. So that's one piece, right? And then the other piece of what's really interesting is that in Quebec now, a young woman a couple years ago was kicked out of playing in her soccer league because she wore hijab. And now a young woman, 16-year-old woman, Sarah Bukrain, was kicked out of playing, being a referee in a Quebec soccer match. So now we're really raising awareness around why is FIFA doing this? And why is this smaller, like, why are other places now taking on this law as well and saying that women can't play sports with hijab? And we know that sports are really important for young women, right? They build self-esteem, they build teamwork, and they're actually keeping us active. And this ban is not going to help women. This is actually going to deter women from playing soccer and playing sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone who plays soccer, I heard saying that people could get strangled if they're wearing the hijab. It's like, if you were a soccer player that wanted to strangle another player, you would find a way. It's like, that's such a strange thing to say.
No.
It doesn't make any sense.
Especially when the hijab is so close to the head. Like, there's no tails hanging out. Yeah, like, it's like literally like a tube that you put on your head and covers your neck. You know, I don't know, maybe even for sunstroke, it'd probably be a little bit better on your neck. But, like, but I think it's really ridiculous. And we do this kind of actions. We like to do creative, fun actions. We Zara made a stop motion video with a couple of us kind of depicting what's happening with FIFA and the red carding us as Muslim women and sidelining us. And I think there's just, we try to use creative arts to kind of talk about this stuff because we think that's the way to kind of get it across. And we also think that that's mobilizing. We're about base building as a group, really working to get young Muslim women to know that they can speak out about these issues and talk about what's happening on the ground themselves.
Mm-hmm. So how can people get in touch with you if they're interested?
So people can contact Aqsazine at aqsazine@gmail.com. It's aqsazine@gmail.com. There's also a Facebook and Twitter pages. And Twitter is Aqsazine. And you can just Facebook search Aqsazine as well.
And we have a really pretty website, www.aqsazine.com. And our next launch is happening in the fall. So hopefully if you're in a city that wants us to come, we would totally be down with coming down to your city or sending you some zines that are going to be amazing because this issue is about ancestors and descendants. And we're doing a really beautiful art postcard project that you should tell them about.
We're doing this amazing postcard project that when we do our workshops and seminars, people can send out a message to either their ancestors or descendants. And some of the messages have been really amazing and deep, and they're just beautiful pieces of art that we'd love to showcase. people could actually send us postcards as well. If you have a message for an ancestor or a descendant, can email it to us at accessine@gmail.com, and we'd love to show it in our zine.
That was an interview with Zara Agji and Farah Khan of Accessine. Don't forget to look up their upcoming actions called Red Card FIFA, Massive Solidarity Soccer Game. And that's happening this Thursday, July the 7th at 2 p.m. in Toronto, in Montreal, and in Surrey. So make sure you look that event up. You can find out all about it on Facebook. And of course, for more information on the F Word, our blog, and ways to contact us, visit feminisms.org. We're going to finish up this podcast with a spoken word piece by Gulshan Abmulai. She was born in Iran and came to Canada when she was 7 years old. She's a visual artist, poet, and youth worker. Her poetry has been published in Accessine's various issues. Her visual art, photography, and poetry explore identity, sexuality, gender, race, politics, human rights, and women's issues. Here is one of her poems.
Powder Pink Princess Room. Leave the kin behind. Leave the land that nurtured your ancestors, that gave birth to kings and caressed the brows of queens. The soil that was toiled by hoes of generations. Rough hands, bleeding streets, raised fists, beating chests, censored lips and covered heads. Pay for the bullet. Pay for the bullet. I say you must pay for the bullet. I say I must take your body before I annihilate you, wipe you out. Bombs, bombs falling over Baghdad. Bombs, bombs falling over Persepolis. Take the key, take the key, this golden plastic key. Fight, fight, fight. Our blood will replenish this dead earth. Take the key, take the key. You will have 1,000 virgins covered in milk and honey, total paradise. Take the key and you will see. Bombs, bombs falling over Baghdad. Bombs, bombs falling over Persepolis. Oh, how I wish to have a powder pink princess room. What's the body of a young woman who has not yet been touched? Nothing, nothing. It is open. It is free. You're allowed to take her. God willed it so. What's the body of a young man who has not yet been loved? Nothing, nothing. It is open. It is free. Shoot him and you will see. Give them the weapons, sell it to them, kill, kill, kill each other. I just want a powder pink princess room. TV screens and manufactured American dreams, sell them the dream, sell it to them. And soon we will have journeyed across continents to find empty rooms and worn-out parquet floors, dusty windowsills, empty fridges. Soon we will have journeyed across continents to find dark days and cold nights, cities filled with noise and unfriendly glances. Alone, 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 no powder pink princess room, no Barbies and carriages, no dream, no dream, a refugee, an exile, I'm an immigrant now. And our identities, they become so fluid within these streets. Our identities hold on so tight. Ghettoized, fantasized, exotified, commodified, sexualized, and racialized. Our identities hold on so tight. And my language will be lost, and my children will never know, my children will never know, of the land that gave birth to kings and caressed the brows of queens. My children will never know of the bombs, bombs over Baghdad, bombs, bombs over Persepolis. Now why did I ever think that I would have a powder pink princess room?